The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our YouTube channel at messagecenter.show/video.
Hello, everyone. I'm Daniel, and that's Daryl.
Hello.
My other brother.
other brother, Daryl.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. I'm coming to you live from the Nashville, Tennessee area, where weather is a little iffy right now. We are in between summer and fall, autumn. And this morning, it felt wonderful. It was, for you international folks out there, it was approximately 17 degrees.
Oh, thank you for the conversion.
Sure. But today, it'll be closer to 35 as a high. So we are in this transition where if you want good weather, get out early because you're going to be sweating if you don't. You mentioned the mug, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
It has a front side.
Yes.
Check out
Nashville,
the back.
SharePoint Saturday.
Ooh.
Cloud Friday, Nashville.
Anyway.
Double purpose. Far out. Mm-hmm. Look, thanks to Jamie and Jeff. And mm-hmm. Phil and Stephen and others that haven't chimed in yet. Great to have you. And there's a few new faces there in the chat room, so that's awesome.
Yeah,
our show, it's all about keeping you up to date with Microsoft 365. We go through the Message Center messages and we pass comments. We try and make it a bit more practical and understandable.
And maybe a little entertaining.
A little entertaining,
maybe.
Yeah. That's right. Now, we know that it's good to see others that are starting to create that awareness as well around the Message Center. That was our dream 2 years ago, to just start doing it and to hope that people would start checking. And I'll just put a little plug in there. There's one other audience that we need to give access to that Message Center, and that's our change managers. Yep. They need to see this too. So we'll cover that off sometime.
Yes.
Four messages today. Just
yes,
four.
Sir.
Right. Well, let's...
Right
get
in.
One of them up and going. Message in the middle. Oh, yeah. Not Malcolm.
Yes.
No. Teams. Secondary
teams.
Ringer.
What is Teams? I don't...
Yeah, they're getting a bit informal now, aren't they? They call themselves Microsoft Teams sometimes.
No. So this is MC189659. It's Teams, Microsoft Teams, secondary ringer, Daryl. So
yep.
Being able to be notified on multiple places that you're getting a call.
Well, this is interesting, Daniel.
Yeah, I know.
Because the Microsoft Teams mobile app is so good, mm-hmm. I get notified in two places anyway.
Right.
But this is a super useful thing because when I've helped organizations roll this out as a phone system, one of the first things they ask, and they usually ask this too when it was Skype for Business, was, right, so I have my headset in and it rings in my ears, but what if I'm not wearing my headset?
Right.
How do I
exactly.
know that the phone is ringing?
I just had the conversation with someone this weekend about my point was when I call you, I'd like for you to answer. In this case, the phone was in the pocket and in a noisy place and couldn't hear it. So it kind of similar here. You've got your headset plugged in, but you got your headset off.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you get notification that you're getting a phone call so you can pick up the headset and put it on and answer the call?
Yeah, yeah. Now it's interesting that we got this far with Teams without having the secondary ringer. I felt like it was one of those crucial things to have so that you can tell the call is coming in. And it was a little difficult when you're rolling this out to a call center and you're telling them initially, well, you've just got to look for that pop-up that comes up.
well, that doesn't work all the time. So,
yeah.
I mean, it works, but it's not sufficient, right, to be notified. So
yeah, yeah. As I said, the secondary ringer that I've been enjoying is it's a mobile phone. It, you know, does what it does, and I can tell that something's happening because there's a shake in my pocket, or if I've got the ringer turned on my mobile, then no, I like it. Oh, never mind.
I'm just thinking that might be a good band name. A shake in my pocket.
Shake in my pocket. Could be a bit dangerous.
Hold on, I gotta go reserve that. Let's see if that domain's available.
Domain. There's also like a a band name registry for international, wasn't it? Like, you,
is it?
Yeah, yeah. You can't take a never mind. We're terrible this morning. but secondary ringer. Now
it's available.
In Skype, we could set up a secondary device. This could be, in most cases, it is your PC speakers, and you'll crank them up to a certain level. Not a level that's going to be annoying to people around you, but loud enough to hear over the top of a open plan office din.
Well, isn't this the same thing as, you know, a ringer on a phone? I mean, we all have been in that situation, and probably still are a lot of us in a situation where you're in an office and there's phones ringing all the time. And yeah, it's not your phone, and so you have different ringers and to tell, is that my phone or is that my CubeMate's phone and all that. So, I mean, this is, I agree with your earlier sentiment.
CubeMate. Is that the expression? Like when you're in a cubicle?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
CubeMate. No, I hadn't heard that one before. Interesting.
Oh, okay. Oh my gosh, you got me derailed. Oh, you mentioned earlier about I'm surprised we've made it this far with Teams without this. I am too, that specifically with that, because, you know, even if you do what you're describing, crank up your speakers and go, oh, my phone's ringing. Well, it's not really your phone. It's someone else's phone that's doing the exact same thing you are. So, mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, how many ringtones do we have available? I actually haven't gone in and changed mm-hmm. the default ringtones. I know that there was a feature that came out to the mobile, which I thought, hey, that's great. Let's go through and see how many ringtones we can find for the mobile app. But I haven't really had a look at the desktop one.
So I wonder who's going to be the first to register the shakeinmypocket.com and forward it to messagecenter.show. That will be interesting to see who's the first to do that. We should have a prize for whoever.
Well, does that. I don't think we can give a prize until we also see a T-shirt design. There's got to be a nice 80s rock T-shirt design.
Okay.
and then maybe we'll get it printed, and maybe that's our design for the next conference.
Okay. Maybe I should tweet about it too, because so then I can say, hey, it was my original idea. I tweeted about it.
Yeah. That's right. Good call. All right, so secondary ringer, well and truly done. there's other types of ringers as well. It doesn't have to be a PC speakers. It could be, right. If you're on a warehouse or shop floor that potentially you've got to step away from the desk and you've got something a little louder that rings so you can hear it from the other end of the warehouse. All sorts of things. But anyway, right. In terms of change, it's gradually rolling out to Windows and Mac customers beginning mid-September. So really, that's only a week away. That's the beginning of the rollout and should be complete by mid-October. Now, the classic. There is nothing you need to do to prepare for this change, but you may consider updating your documentation as appropriate.
You may want to do that.
You may consider telling your people that it's there because they probably asked about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
You may want to create just a tiny little change campaign where there's this thing that you put on your intranet or your communications page to let people know, hey, we've got this great new feature that will let you know your phone is ringing without your headset on.
Which is a great thing.
Now, I know that probably goes over the word limit for that section. But that's probably what we would add.
Right. No, because I think we have some clear examples where there is no word limit.
They write
lots and lots in these messages. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's all good.
All right. Yep. Well, next one. Let's swap to something interesting. More interesting. Not that that wasn't interesting, but... Yeah, I've got to get my laughing effects going here on the sound effects.
Yeah, you
need
to push the button where it's like, ah!
Yay. Yeah, that's a forced laugh, that one. tell us about this, Daniel.
This latest update is something we've talked about, but they are announcing as coming to organizations that have less than up to 10,000 users. This is the SharePoint Site Swap MC189866. And just letting everyone know that this is coming to you if you have less than 10,000 users in your organization, which I would gather is probably a lot of people, a lot of organizations with tenants that size. And that's my organization. And we are going to get this, and it says roll out in early September, which that's about now. and the so we're going to get that coming. I think that completed worldwide by the end of October. I think with it's interesting. We'll probably hear how many from the Ignite conference. Some of the announcements. We'll probably hear how many tenants have been enabled with this in some of the sessions. I want to make sure though that I want to call this out because I think this is a little misleading. There is a under how does this affect me? It talks about admins will be able to site swap with another site. Yes. Swap the SharePoint root site with another site. Yes. The root site will be archived automatically. And while that is true, you actually have to provide where that goes. It's not like a recycle bin or some sort of archive. When you invoke the PowerShell command, the invoke-spo site swap, there is a switch called archive. What is it called? Archive URL.
Yeah,
it's called archive URL, and you have to specify where you want it. So, basically, it's you have three things in play here. You have a source URL, a target URL, and an archive. The source is the one you want to promote to, in this case, the root. And so the target is the root, mm-hmm. and the archive is where the root goes. So it's going to go like this, right? So the source goes to the target. The target, which is your root in this case, goes to archive. And so you specify those URLs. Well, now, I think the key here to understand, though, is this is targeted for root site collections. Is what they're wanting you to use this on. I'm not sure if this is enabled for other sites as well. So there's kind of two things there. Mm. You have to specify where it's going. But actually, in their second example, it's showing a search site, or at least it's called search, which is not the target. The target is not the root URL. So they keep saying root URL, root URL, but I don't think say that 10 times fast. I don't think that's, you know, the case. We can use this on any site.
It's really easy to say it fast when you have a Scottish accent. root URL. You got to roll your R's. Sorry, Sean Connery, that was shocking. But you tried to do a Russian accent and I wasn't convinced.
Yes, but it wasn't on camera.
you're right. Yeah, this second example is all about search sites, and it's source is search site. Target mm-hmm. is also a search URL. Archive mm-hmm. is archive. But yep. it looks like you can swap a search site for something else.
Well, this may be we're talking about this is, as far as I know, modern sites. Mm. But I wouldn't switch search sites per se. I mean, maybe this is just a search. I've seen a lot of organizations have a site that just has a search box on it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some big buttons for other stuff. But when you go to that site, that's all you see is a search box and, you know, some square buttons or
the
something.
Google approach. Here's your homepage. It is a search box.
I have not tried this with an actual proper search center. So it would be interesting to see if how that works. Now, when you switch that out, you obviously have to make sure that you have the same functionality, because if your sites point to that search center as its search results place, it needs to be able to actually do that. So anyway.
I think a good point there is when I first saw the feature, I didn't even think about where does that old root go? You're not just going to turf it.
Right.
You probably want to archive it, and you need to tell where it's going to go. So, yeah, glad we looked at that closely. Did you, audience, look at that closely? Have you got a plan?
You better make a plan.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you know, again, there's nothing you need to do to to prepare for this change. Well, actually, there is, because you're doing it. But
right.
Again, you might want to tell your people that our intranet is being swapped around and launched. And there's a good strategy for this. You know, if you have been longing to have a decent communication site as your root site, maybe you're preparing something off to the side. You've restricted access. You've got it. It's, what is it called? A staging site. You got it all ready to go, and then you swap it over. So, yeah, a lot of people are looking forward to that.
I agree. I think there's going to be some interesting, and I might put together a session on this, because I think some interesting things can happen. As, okay, what happens if your switch just doesn't work well, right? we forgot to this whole other functionality, and so we need to roll back. What is the rollback plan, and does it work well, right? Because technically you should be able to say, oh, that archive URL is now your source URL.
Yeah.
Right? So just you just switch around, and push it. How long does it take, and what's the gotchas, and if any, right? So I think that'll be interesting. I know there's some plans of communication.
We're relying on you to test that, sir.
Okay.
Take one for the team.
Okay.
Yeah, look, team's jokes. Sheesh. moving right along. Site owners can now manage sharing access request settings from the site permissions panel.
Yep.
Right. Can I have permission to access that SharePoint team site? I have to talk about it in the full so that people don't get confused. Can I have access to it, please? Where do we manage that from now? Or where do we manage it from now?
No, you can't have
you can't.
Permission. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was just saying, if it was you asking me, I would say no. Sorry. You're asking, where do we manage it now?
Yeah, well, I guess in Classic it was you'd have to go into site permissions and site requests and manage that there. It's now sitting in the site permissions panel, modernized. Yeah?
Yes, this particular setting is about who can actually do the sharing. So is it just, you know, site owners and members can share content, or is it only site owners? And the other option is if site members can share content, but not the site. So the three options there. I think for what really is really nice about this is bringing that permissions to the front, to where I don't have to dive into the site permissions and do all that. It's right there on the pane, right with the settings of who actually has permissions. So it's really slick to have all of that in one pane. Now, is it monumental change here? No, but I think it is pretty cool to have all of those settings, and to have to be able to tweak it a little bit, right? To be able to say, you know, site members can share content, but not the site itself. And then below, like you were saying, you can turn on site access requests, like you were mentioning earlier, to say, hey, I want access to this. And then you could specify where that request goes to. Does it go to the owners, or does it go to a specific email address? So to get, you know, and I could see you doing some nice workflow with that, you know, with site requests. So anyway, yep.
I think the content one is quite an important one, because there might be documents that, because of these settings, you want to share, but you still want it to sit in your team. You don't necessarily want to share the whole site.
Right. Yeah.
So that is good. Nice one. All right.
You don't need to do anything to prepare for this change except, you know, update your training and let everybody know about the feature and how to use it and how it shouldn't be used, and put it in your governance plan and help with adoption. But nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, because people will be receiving these requests and going, what are these? What are these?
Right. What are these requests?
Just about slipped into a Black Panther quote.
Please don't.
You know the one. Please don't. Okay, moving along. Yeah, keep it professional, as we always do. And I exchange improvements to accelerate replication of changes to Azure Active Directory.
Now say that one five times fast. This MC190021, this is all about, let me ask you a question, Daryl. Have you ever dealt with, especially, I don't know, maybe a year ago, maybe a little bit earlier than that, where people were saying, I updated my picture in SharePoint profile, but it's not showing up in email or Skype or what's going on? And, or I've updated it in Outlook, but why isn't it showing up in SharePoint, or why is it not showing up in Skype, or have you ever dealt with those situations?
Definitely. There's that delay. And there was if I can recall last week, there was a message to say that Yammer's finally fallen in line there.
Yep.
Now you're going to use the same picture. Right. So yeah, definitely. That's when you're using Exchange or your Outlook profile as the master for adding details and it's not being shared back to Azure Active Directory.
Yep. Yeah. So this is now, just to be clear, I think they're making progress on making all that better, and it has been better. But what this is specifically talking about is previously when you've made changes via the Exchange Admin Center or Exchange Online PowerShell, the changes took a while to actually go through to replicate to Azure Active Directory. And now they're saying it will happen immediately, or what is the word they say? I want to make sure that it will be immediately. Immediately to AAD, thus reducing replication time. I think it is interesting in this message is talking about you may see errors referencing AAD when running these operations. And basically, you need to just retry the operation if you run into issues. So anyway, I anything we could do to make everything be more seamless and make changes happen immediately, I'm all for it. So as long as I would like to, maybe this is bringing it to us, but I'd like to have the world where you update some information in one service and it's automatically updated everywhere, right? So if I change some profile information in Delve, when I go to Outlook, it's there. When I go, you know, and you can use that for any of the services. I want it to just update.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point to make. We do forget that it is a collection of services.
It is.
And it's all about forward syncing at where you change it in one. And if this that service allows it, then it's going to synchronize forward to the other services involved. SharePoint is its own service. Teams is its own service.
And of course, Teams, as one of our commenters has said in the chat, Teams are still renegades. Yes. So, come on, Yammer's even in on the. Sorry.
That's the messages for today. Now, was there anything that you noticed change over the last week or so that hasn't been captured here?
We talked about the web parts last week in SharePoint.
And they have arrived. Like, I've seen even the call to action button have been playing a bit with a site design.
Yeah, they have arrived. I haven't seen anything. The to-do today, you know, with the post announcement about the to-do redesign of the mobile app.
I want to ask a bit about something here. Let me just.
Okay.
It's actually been around for a couple of weeks, but I'll just get us out, get you out of full screen, because I need to show, let's say, a conversation in Teams. And since we have a Teams expert from the education area, Mr. Jethro Seegers, on the call. On the call.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Where is it? When I'm creating a new conversation, was it in reply? Yeah. This new button. See any explanation come out for that? Or is that related to a message that we did have?
Isn't that
Yonder.
the announcement feature?
Kind of. This new conversation is the announcement one.
I know. Yeah.
But then this one appeared as well. And what I've noticed is that I can do this as a guest in an organization. So I can go in, I can create a post and say, only I and moderators can reply. Now, who is a moderator? I think this goes back to a message we had a few weeks back about this role for moderation. Do you remember that one?
I do.
And we said, well, that's not really moderating. That's more about controlling what can be posted. So yeah, just to say that that one has appeared, and just interested to hear if anyone has used it. Jethro says it's channel teams moderation, part of channel moderation.
Yeah,
okay.
But,
well, I mean, channel moderation. Manage channel. Do we have moderators? There's our channel moderation.
We but if you have it off, then why would it show you that option to switch it?
Well, it's on there for, maybe it's on for general channels by default. Makes sense. Manage channel. Yeah. Remember, that's that feature.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. That only team owners can post there, or, you can allow replies.
I'm right with Phil, though, in this, in the chat room. He says, I don't want to be moderated. And I agree. This whole moderation. Why would we want to do anything in moderation?
Well, some personalities, require...
a bit moderation. That's why this show is only, we try to limit it to around 30 minutes, because any more than that, I don't know that people would be able to handle us.
This is true, and this is why we try as best as we can to do a show together, because I need moderation and so does Daniel. But I think what we were getting at in the community is we're talking about this feature and saying, is it really moderation? Or is it just restricting people? Because a moderator is, okay, something's been posted. I'm going to read it over and say yay or nay. I'm going to allow it to be clear. And
so I just want to mention in your what you were just showing there.
Oh yeah, yeah. It
was your right above your head is this nice landscape, a green landscape.
Okay.
It's not my face. So
no, it's not.
I think this is yet again another affront to me that Daryl is
trying to
replace me with some, rolling some beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful
flora
thing.
And fauna. Yeah,
it's wonderful.
It's Mangere Mountain in Auckland, New Zealand. No, it's because of this dude. Like, I use Teams to sweat it. You give me such a hard time. Stop it.
I do. Well, I mean, it needs to be a little entertaining.
Well, nothing else that you noticed? Oh, no, look, this is the thing. We've got to run a little notebook here of stuff that does appear, because honestly, it is not all in the message center. And sometimes it is significant enough to say, look, where is it? Because we need to tell our people what it is. Don't you agree? I agree.
Yes. And I think the whole concept of how do you keep up with all of this, and, I have a session on that, but I think there's, and every time I give that session, I've given it a couple times, but it's always, I learn more about how to keep up with what's going on and how do you use others to help you keep up, and how do you make sure that you are on top of things?
Well, thank you. I think the one thing that we can finish on.
Yes.
Remember 3 weeks ago or so that we were running a discussion, a poll on trying to standardize a hashtag for keeping up to date with change.
Mm-hmm. And you released
alerts.
A video.
I released a video to get people talking about it. It was good to see. There was almost 1,000 votes on it. We were trying to get some meeting time with Microsoft to try and get some support from all the different product groups and channels to say, hey, we should standardize as a community, but also as Microsoft on those hashtags. That meeting still hasn't come about. But look, what the community settled on, even for that poll of 1,000, was hashtag M365change for observed changes and hashtag M365alert for outages and things that were unexpected. So I've started using it. I've even put it in the episode's tweets, right? And I've noticed that people are actually following the hashtag. So we'll create a bit of a campaign about it. Eventually we'll get to talk with a few Microsoft people and see if they'll standardize around it too. Goal here is if you see something, for example, that observe change, this button that's appeared in Microsoft Teams, you would say hashtag M365change, and then you would use hashtag Microsoft Teams, the product name that you're referring to. And that will give you a good way to create that discussion in the socials with the community. How about that?
Wonderful. Sounds great.
All right. Well, that was us. Tune in next week to catch up with the updates as usual. Thank you to all that. Let's do a bit of a roll call. Jethro, Stephen, Jamie, Phil, Jamie Willis.
Said that one already.
Yep. Jeff Thorpe.
Yep.
Whole lot of people. Thanks to New Faces for joining us too.
Yeah.
We'll see you again next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye, everybody.